Good sermons often need to be followed by programmed silence that allows people time to process what they have just heard. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. That's our key sentence for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. At SermonCoach.com, it's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if I ask you to think of a good sermon you've heard recently and why it was so good, can you come up with an example?
Yes, I can. It wasn't my sermon, so now you're relieved anyway. The sermon subject was something I had never spoken on. I had never heard anyone else speak on it, so it was interesting to me that way. The subject was expectations. What are your expectations? And this was the text. It was Mark chapter 1. You'll remember it. Jesus has been healing people, and there have been numbers of healings that have taken place, and he's been driving out demons. There's that statement that Peter makes the next day as they go out, because Jesus has gone out to pray all night, and he finally finds Jesus, and he says, "The whole town's looking for you." It's kind of like, we have arrived. You know, it is a new day. No need for the posters or anything anymore, because everybody's looking for you. And those were not the same expectations Jesus had. And Jesus said, "I have to go on to the next town," and they didn't go back again, because I have to preach the message of the kingdom that is among you. So his expectations were different than the expectations of Peter. That was the basic thrust of the sermon. He also then came to the place where he put that into application. Okay?
Was this sermon good because this was a topic you're thinking about already? Was it convicting? Was it a novel approach? What grabbed you about the sermon?
Well, I hadn't been thinking about it ahead of time at all. It probably grabbed me because I hadn't heard this person preach before, and he was actually quite a good communicator. But it got me right away, because when he asked that question, "What are your expectations?" I couldn't answer it right away, but it was interesting to me, and I wanted to figure out what the answer to that was. I would also say that the sermon was very well done. It kept my interest the whole time. It was creative. It was not the same thing that you've heard many, many times. So it was new thinking. The sermon was well organized. However, the problem was that I needed time to somehow absorb what was being said. All the time I was listening, at the same time trying to figure out, what is it that I'm expecting in terms of my life? What am I looking forward to? What really is bottom line for me? I could answer it generally, but I couldn't answer it specifically. And when it was finished, that question was still very much there, and the question was there in my wife's mind as well, because I talked to her about the sermon on the way home, which is a good thing when you talk about a sermon on the way home. And she said the same thing. The unfortunate thing was, as soon as the sermon was done, it went right on to the next part of the service. And then there was music, which distracted me. There was an offering. There were other sermon elements that kind of yanked my thoughts away. And I kept going back to this sermon, but I couldn't get enough quiet to be able to solve that problem. What is it that I'm expecting? What is it, this thing that is bottom line to me, that's driving me like Jesus? I can't go back there, even though the crowds are there, because I have to go to the next town and preach the kingdom. You know, what was that for me? And at that point in time, I just didn't have time. Now, the truth is that I talked about it later, I thought about it later, and I actually came up with an answer later, but it wasn't the same as if at the end of the time there had been in the bulletin, "We will have 3 minutes of silence." Now, 3 minutes isn't very long, but when you're the person up in front, it's eternity, you know, because you think, "Oh man, is that second hand never going to get around there?" When you're the individual in the chair trying to process what is going on, you think, 3 minutes, man, I don't know if I can figure this thing out in 3 minutes, but I'm going to work at it. You know, so the pulpit has a different concept of 3 minutes than the pew has a concept of 3 minutes, but it wasn't scheduled, I would guess, because just thinking about it now, I don't think the speaker realized what a good question he had asked and how that whole sermon was put together in such a way that you really wanted to know, what is my expectation in terms of these next weeks for my life? You know, where am I headed? What is it that I'm not going to let anything distract me from? Because this is something God has placed in my heart, which was the magnitude of what he was giving to what he was saying. It's all really good. So if you ask me a good sermon, it really stuck with me, but I wish that he had known how good it really was and that he needed to give me time to be able to put this thing through my thinking process. Because once you get away from the church, it is hard to have that same sense of quiet and focus. That's the word I want. I got it. You don't have the same focus. You have to force yourself to get quiet so you can focus and try to figure this thing out now.
So when you are choosing a subject that God has laid on your heart and are talking about something that really challenges the norm, what I'm hearing you say is that pastors need to set aside time specifically in the service so people can process what the thrust of that sermon is.
Yeah, my feeling is, Dean, that sermon, when you asked me for a good sermon, that sermon was more powerful than the speaker realized. And probably he knew the answer for his life because even while he worked on the sermon, he was thinking about this all the time. And in fact, some of what he shared were from his own personal life. So he gave an illustration of what he was expecting from us, but he had more time to, again, I'm going back to process what was going on. I thought of, and if I had known him better, my feeling was if I call him, he won't have any idea who I am. And that probably was true because he was a younger man. He doesn't know my past or my ministry that much. Maybe I'm wrong. He knew who I was. I can think of it because he called me by name as we went out. I probably should have called him. You know, I probably should have said, this is a suggestion I have for you. It seemed presumptuous. Now, as I look back on it, it probably wasn't presumptuous. Your words were stronger than you realized, and that's good, but you needed to give us time. If I say time and you give 30 seconds, it's not enough. If you ask me what I would suggest, I would have suggested 5 minutes of absolute quiet. And if you need to and you're next to someone who's close to you, maybe you can, in a very soft voice, talk to the person you're with, your son or your daughter or your spouse, whatever. And that's all right, too, because I've asked you to do something very serious. But again, my feeling is he was really on to something. The text just came alive. I mean, in those words of Peter, the total contrast between where Peter was, well, we finally made it. You know, the people are streaming here. And Jesus, let's get away from that. You know, I've talked with my father. We've got to go to the next place because there's something more important than the crowd, something more important than all the sick people coming and getting healed. Now, what's important to you? Where is God saying this is the serious thing? I would have said, even if it hadn't been programmed, I would have said, if he said spontaneously, we'll go over this morning time-wise, would you say, if I gave you 5 minutes, you would appreciate it just to process? I think the whole congregation would have been with him. But somehow that was missed. And I've had that happen, you know, enough times that I know this is a problem. So ministers have to think this whole thing through. And again, the easiest way to find that out would have been to have dialogued with some people ahead of time. And they would have said, you know what, I hear what you're saying. You don't have to tell me the whole sermon. I got the concept. But you know what, I don't know how to answer it. It's going to take me a while just to think about it. That would have been helpful to him. Again, if you say, was it a strong sermon, it's still in my mind now, and we're talking probably 3 months ago when I heard that sermon.
Why do you think it is that few churches schedule time for silence?
I don't know why. I think it's because it's abnormal.
Do you think it would be a good idea to schedule such a time printed in the bulletin, or could the service leader just kind of at random decide to pause for time of reflection?
I think it's great if the service leader has that freedom. But I think there are 4 people who preach at the church where we're a part. There's a senior pastor, and this was one of the secondary pastors who preached, and the senior pastor was in charge of the service. And on occasion, he will stop and say, I think we just need quiet here. It would have been easier for him to have made that call than the person speaking to make the call, because sometimes the person speaking isn't aware of how powerful his words are, but a person listening in that position to make the call is in a better position to do that. And that has happened on occasion, not as often. That was just one of the mornings, and I may have been the only person, although no, I'm sure I wasn't, because other people made comment about the message, how helpful that was. I just think ministers need to hear other people say to them, sometimes your words are more powerful even than you realize, and take the freedom to call just a stop to everything and let the Lord work in quiet. There are times, Dean, when I've preached and I can even tell, it just all of a sudden it gets deathly quiet. It's like you could almost reach out and get a handful of quiet. You know, it's, I don't want to use the word, but I don't know what else to say. It's spooky in a way. There is a sense of the presence of the Spirit. It doesn't happen often, and I can't predict when it's going to happen necessarily, but I know those times that happen. And this was one of those times where there was that wrestling that was going on, but the person preaching was so into what he was doing that he maybe didn't sense it as much, but it would have been neat if there had been somebody who had sensed it and said, let's just stop. The thing we've wanted so much has happened once again. God has made his presence known. Now let us interact with God on a personal basis. Anyway, it was a very fascinating topic, and that was a good sermon, so I appreciate you asking me the question because it pulls back what was going on that day.
Good sermons often need to be followed by programmed silence that allows people time to process what they've just heard. We're so glad you joined us for today's SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources on our website to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to make sure you make full use of those resources. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.